The views expressed on Soapbox Derby are not necessarily the views of the UC Regents or the staff and volunteers of this broadcast station. Now stay tuned to KALX for Soapbox Derby.
Derby. It's November 5th, 2009. My name is Lars Sherping. Tonight we're going to be talking about local news, not just local news, but hyper-local news. We have to find out what makes it hyper. We'll discuss the changing media landscape, how more and more people are getting news online, and how less and less people are finding journalism to be a full-time profession. Is the end of newspapers near? What form will reporting take in the future? How does a place like the Bay Area, and specifically a city like Berkeley, areas rich in technological innovation and full of educated, news-hungry people, deal with the new news scene? Joining us in the studio this evening, here to discuss these topics and more, and to answer your questions, is the founder of BerkeleySide.com. Lance Noble is an independent writer and strategist. He's the former advisor to British Prime Minister Tony Blair's strategy unit. He was formerly head of the program of the World Economic Forum's annual meeting in Davos, and editor-in-chief of WorldLink. He is the founder of BerkeleySide.com. Lance Noble, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Lars.
You obviously have a lot of background in the journalism business. Perhaps you can give me an idea of what you've been involved with in the past before we get to what you're doing right now.
Okay, sure. Well, most of my career was as a journalist, initially writing about architecture and the built environment. And then I became a business journalist, writing about all sorts of business issues and then political issues as well. So quite a varied and somewhat conventional journalistic background for, I don't know, 20-some years of my career.
And not here in the Bay Area.
No, that was all in London. I'm an American, but I did graduate work in England and then ended up staying there for a pretty long time.
What brought you to Berkeley?
Who wouldn't want to live here?
Right.
Ready for a change. There were some opportunities here. My family, we'd always loved the Bay Area. And so about 5 years ago, we moved here.
So you've started this local news blog, BerkeleySide.com. Why start a local news blog? What's the need that you see for it?
The need initially was a largely personal one. Where do you go if you're a resident of Berkeley or somebody just very interested in Berkeley to find out what's happening in your city? And that could be small things. You know, why is that store empty? Is anything going to move in there? It could be large things. The high school is talking about a major change in its schedule. What is that going to mean for the students in Berkeley? What does it mean if the Lawrence Berkeley Lab gets a few hundred million from the government? Are there interesting programs there? So from the absolutely micro issues to the large issues, I was puzzled as a relative newcomer to Berkeley. Where do I look? Berkeley is fortunate in that it has two newspapers, but they have one, the Daily Cal, largely focused on what's happening on the campus. The other, The Planet, has a very particular agenda. I think it does a good job of covering. But for my interest, nobody was answering the questions I had. And so I decided to start something.
And what you're talking about is definitely missing in Berkeley. I guess it's missing all over the place. It's not Berkeley in particular. Let's define hyper-local.
The term hyper-local has come up in the last few years to describe these sites, generally blogs, but some of them may be slightly different to blogs, but sites that are focused very particularly on one neighborhood, one area, one town. Actually, in dealing with Berkeley, a city of 100,000 people, by some hyperlocal definitions, we're not very hyper. I mean, Berkeley is a fair-sized city.
Right.
You look at Seattle, which is a hotbed of hyperlocal sites, and there are all sorts of sites that are very tightly concentrated on single neighborhoods. But you know, I think we fit nicely into that definition of hyperlocal. We have a very specific geographic concentration. That's what we're about.
There definitely are neighborhoods in Berkeley, Right, but that's an interesting point. I haven't thought of it because in Oakland, for instance, there are many hyperlocal sites like Berkeley Side, but in Berkeley, to cover it with one site.
I think so. I mean, it may be as Berkeley Side develops or if other people enter into this sort of sphere that, you know, there'll be a site for the Gourmet Ghetto or a site for the Elmwood or a site for West Berkeley or whatever. At the moment, we're trying to do the whole thing very imperfectly. We're just a handful of people. But certainly our ambition is over time to reflect much more of the complexity and diversity of this city.
And it is new. It only started maybe a month ago. Is that right?
It is. We started another site in June, which was called inberkeley.com. Mm-hmm. That is in what they call hiatus. There was a bit of a disagreement between the founders. And so in September, we stopped development on that site and we started the new site, Berkeley Side. So it hasn't even been going a month.
So describe berkeleyside.com. It's not long-form journalism by any means. Describe what people can expect, and I hope people do go to berkeleyside.com to check it out.
Sure. I'm not sure it's accurate to say it's not long-form journalism. I mean, we're not doing yet 5,000-word articles like you'd find in The New Yorker, certainly. But I did a post today about this change in the high school's schedule that's being discussed. Mm-hmm. And it was fair length. I don't know. I'll guess it was a 700-800-word article or blog post, which is the kind of length you'd find in a newspaper. It's an ordinary length for an article. But we also can do things like, I took a picture of this thing, and isn't it interesting? And that may be the entirety of the post. So it can really vary, just as the sort of topics we cover can vary from the very, very particular to the more sort of large issues. The length can vary. We're not at the stage of having rigid rules or formats. It's very much an organic development at this stage.
That's a good way to put it. And you're referring to we. Who is we, and can people get involved? What's the process of getting involved?
The we of Berkeley Side at the moment, there are three or four regular bloggers and a couple of other people who maybe are contributing every once in a while. We very much want more contributors. I think the success of the site over time will largely be a function of galvanizing more people to become involved. And it may be people who have a very particular interest. You know, someone who is passionate about primary schools in Berkeley, for example. I mean, none of us, I have a high school student and a sixth grader, but I have no involvement in younger grades. So if someone was really desperately interested in the issues to do with primary schools in Berkeley, it'd be great to have somebody writing about that. If someone was passionate about, you know, the flowers they see in front gardens in Berkeley and wanted to take a different picture every day of a great front garden, that would be wonderful. So we really want to encourage different voices, different views, lots of different contributors to the site, and I think that will be a way we can judge its success over time.
And this writing would be for free, of course. And that's one of the issues that I do want to get into in a couple minutes. We're going to take a short break here on the program. You're tuned into Soapbox Derby here on KALX FM here 90.7. We're talking to Lance Noble. He's the founder of berkeleyside.com. We'll be right back. Here on Soapbox Derby, we're talking to Lance Noble, berkeleyside.com. It's Berkeley, S-I-D-E.com. And they can go to the .com, but you're also on Twitter and the new media as well. I mean, there's lots of ways to to get what you're putting out. Before the break, we were talking about having contributors contribute specific you know, their specific interest to the site. But this is a labor of love. That, you know, this is, you don't get paid to do this. And that's, I guess, one of the issues with hyperlocal news is how does it make money?
Sure. That's a big question for some people. We did not start it as a commercial venture. There are allegedly some hyperlocal sites that are successful businesses. There's one called BaristaNet in New Jersey, which claims to be profitable in six figures. I'm slightly skeptical of that, but it could be. Some of the Seattle ones think that they've got a business going. And it may be over time, Berkeley side has that as well, which I'd welcome. I mean, I'm not against it becoming a viable business, but that's not why we did it. And certainly at the moment, it is purely a work of love and passion. It could be, in terms of our work, that the benefit of Berkeley side is it helps us and it builds our name and our brand. And that may lead to other things. I mean, that's one way people can look at it. But at the moment, we don't make any money. We don't have any advertising. We don't have any revenue stream. And so everybody involved in it is doing it for free. That may change over time. But for the moment, that's the way it is.
And there's a there was a Washington Post article about hyperlocal sites. I guess the Washington Post had a hyperlocal site experiment. It covered news in a county in Virginia, I believe. And a quote, it's an analyst who follows the hyperlocal market. He said, when you slice further and further down, you get smaller and smaller audiences. Advertisers want that kind of targeting, but they also want to reach more people. So there's the paradox. That's the quote. I mean, I guess that's the issue. There's this regular meetup of local bloggers. That's actually where we met, that meets at the journalism school to discuss issues surrounding local blogging. But it always ends in this endless brainstorming of ways to make money. And there's no easy answer to that. But new blogs are sprouting up all the time. That's what I understand as well. There's a new hyperlocal blog every week, but nobody's really making money.
Well, so as I say, I think some people are. Yeah. But many people are not doing it for that reason. And I don't think, you know, the reason to do it, whether it's in Berkeley or anywhere else, the only motivation isn't for people money. There are many motivations people have to do this. Mm-hmm. My motivation, and I think the other people who are writing for Berkeley side, is we think we live in a fascinating city. And it's interesting to become more deeply involved in that as you write about it. It's interesting to explore some of the things about Berkeley. It's great to uncover things about Berkeley, and that's a value in itself. Is that sustainable over a long period if you're not making any money? I'm not sure. So it may be that at some point we and other kinds of hyperlocal blogs will need to find the gloried business model, but that's not our priority at this point.
You described BerkeleySide.com. It's a you know, it's anecdotal, it's personal, it's pictures, it's some Twitter feeds come into it as well. It's a whole host of things. And I know it's early. What's the reaction been so far to your site? Because it definitely fills a niche, I think, in Berkeley. It's not being filled.
Well, that's good to hear. I think so, too. The reaction, and it's totally anecdotal at this stage, the reaction has generally been very good. I'm astounded, given that we do nothing to publicize the site. I often run into people who say, oh, I saw your site, or somebody pointed me to this. It's very nice. You know, recently, talking about developments in hyperlocal, the New York Times launched the Bay Area pages in the newspaper. If you get the New York Times on Friday and Sunday, there are two extra pages covering the Bay Area. And on their Bay Area blog, which is part of that effort, they've pointed to Berkeley side a couple of times. And so that's a wonderful validation and also a source of traffic for us. So I think the reaction's been very good, and I'm very pleased with where it is at the moment. But we'd love to see it continue to grow and to develop.
One of the issues that critics say is quality. That where's the integrity? How do you maintain the quality? There are no editors, right?
There are no editors. It may be that if it really grows into something that has hundreds or perhaps thousands of contributors, that mm-hmm. we need to move to a model that's like daily costs, where mm-hmm. each contributor in effect has their own blog, and part of the role at the center, whether it's me or anyone else, is to decide, well, which posts are promoted to the homepage. And that will be an editorial function of some sort. At the moment, it's largely uncontrolled. Where's the quality? Well, everyone at the moment that's writing is someone who I know and who I believe is a good writer and has good judgment. But it's not traditional media with lots of filters. These are real people's voices, and they're providing their personal take on things.
And just to mention, again, if people are just tuning in, you are looking for contributors. You welcome
Absolutely.
Contributors. So go to berkeleyside.com, and your information is there.
Absolutely. There's a send a tip to Berkeleyside, and that email will get to me. Or if you Google my name, you can always find me in terms of finding my email.
And what about sharing issues? Because there's a whole host of issues that go with old media versus new media, and some of the lines are you know, these gray areas. Like, I'm walking down the street and I think of a great blog post, and then I just grab a photo off of Flickr. I can't just throw that up on the site, especially if it's a for-profit site.
Well, we're not a for-profit site, so those restrictions don't apply. But absolutely, I mean, copyright still applies. We try and be scrupulous about this. There have been mistakes that have occurred, and when it does, we try and be transparent about it. But if you look at Berkeleyside, we always try and have a photo for every post because I think it looks better. Yeah. It's more interesting. And many of those photos are either taken by ourselves or come from Flickr. But all the Flickr photos are Creative Commons licensed. And what a Creative Commons license is about, you're allowed to reuse providing that you offer credit.
We're talking to Lance Noble. He's the founder of Berkeleyside.com. We're talking about hyperlocal news, the future of news on Soapbox Derby. We'll be right back. And we're back here on Soapbox Derby talking to Lance Noble, founder and contributor to Berkeleyside.com. The site is different than other sites that are called hyperlocal. The term still hasn't been, properly, I guess, defined in the media. There are sites like Every Block and Outside In that are more like hyperlocal aggregate sites that include city data, feeds and restaurant reviews, whereas Berkeleyside is all user-generated content in blog post form. What works better?
I think we're all feeling our way towards what is the right model here. In terms of how do you get people the information they want? How do you get people engaged in the conversations that interest them in their community? Sites like Outside In and Every Block, I think, will play an important part in what's emerging as, how do you get local information? There's a need for those algorithm-generated sites. But I would think as well that you're going to need, and there will certainly be a place for sites that offer real voices and voices people can recognize and that people can engage with that have personality. And that's more what we're trying to do. Though, there are some things we're trying to do. There's, if you look on Berkeleyside, there's a Berkeleyside map, which we use Google Maps to, anything we write about, we put a pin in the map and you can find it sort of geospatially as well as through our words. And so we want to do more data-driven things as well as doing the textual and photographic things that we do. And so I think a combination might well work very well over time.
I think that's one of the most interesting features on Berkeleyside is the map. Berkeley's a very unique city, obviously, a very unique base of readers. There's another local paper, the Daily Planet, well, actually just publishes once a week. It recently had to lay off a couple of its reporters. It's a very opinionated publication, and I think it turns a lot of people off. There's the East Bay Express, which has done pretty well, I think, with its online presence, venturing into new media. There's even the Calex News, which doesn't always even focus necessarily very locally. They do international, national things. How does Berkeleyside Daily.com fit in here?
I'd also mention there's the Daily Cal, which is the student newspaper at the university as well. And Berkeley is remarkable, as you say. It's only 100,000 people. It has this great history of social innovation and political engagement. It has this world-leading university. It has up on the hill the Berkeley Lawrence Lab, a real global center for research in areas like energy. So in this tiny place, there are amazing things. And so I think there's room for a lot of different sources of news. We're very concentrated and geographically defined. We don't have a particular point of view. I personally have very particular points of view, and sometimes in my writing, I think that comes across. But we're not trying to impose a Berkeley side point of view, so that if someone was writing for the site and wanted to say, I think it's terrible that Berkeley continues to harbor research up on the hill and who knows what they're doing, that's fine. I take a view that that's a great thing that we have this research center, and I'm happy for all those voices to be in Berkeley side. There's plenty to write about in this city. There's no question about that.
Does the site have a role in like promoting local events, like education outreach, PSAs on the site?
Some of what we do might seem very mundane. And I think part of the joy of a hyperlocal site is it can play the role of what in an older day may have been the parish newsletter or something like that, that you talk about a store opening or a lecture being given or an event down the street or a block party or something like that. All of that's actually of a lot of interest to people that live in the neighborhood, and we try and
right
deal
now
with those things.
And it's not happening right now. So I do think that that would be a good place for people to get that information.
Absolutely. Yeah. But there's also, you know, what the city council is debating or what the mayor is planning or, you know, larger issues. So it's this spectrum from the very small to the large. And I'd hope there's a place in the site for all of that.
The site again is berkeleyside.com. Final question here. What do you say to aspiring journalists, students? How do they get involved and keep up their morale in this environment where there's this constant drumbeat of the newspaper industry is dead? What can you say with your experience and your success to them?
Well, I think the newspaper industry is in desperate trouble, but there still is a desperate demand for news and for journalism, and that's something totally apart from what happens to the medium we call newspapers.
Lance Noble, thanks for being on the program.
Thank you.
The website is berkeleyside.com. Soapbox Derby is a production of KALX Berkeley and is produced by Jesse Townley and Marshall Stacks. Our engineer this evening was Lee Cressy. Soapbox Derby airs every Thursday evening from 9 to 9:30 p.m. right here on 90.7 FM and streams all over the world at kalx.berkeley.edu. For more information and extended interviews, visit informationradio.info. And for updates on upcoming guests and topics, follow us on Twitter and fan us on Facebook. My name is Lars Sherping. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Soapbox Derby on KALX 90.7 FM. Tune in every Thursday night at 9 p.m. for a half an hour of Soapbox Derby. See you next week.